Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Subro Limited Q3 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by B&K Securities. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj from B&K Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jayaraj.
Thanks, Renju. Welcome to Subro Limited 3Q FY25 post-results conference call. From Subro Limited management, we have with us today Mr. Pramod Kumar Dugel, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Hemant Kumar Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer and Senior Vice President Finance, and Mr. Sukhbinder Singh Gill, Assistant Vice President Finance. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Pramod Kumar Dugel for the opening remarks, to be followed by the question-and-answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jayaraj. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Since we are meeting first time in this year, so first of all, I wish you all a very happy and prosperous New Year 2025, and welcome to all of you for Subro's investor call for quarter three FY24-25. Just brief about the industry. The auto sector has had a very busy quarter three. On the global front, we have seen a steady recovery despite our changing economic environment. EVs continue to be dominating in conversation, not just as a trend, but as a future of mobility. In India, the story has been one of the resilience and growth. The festive season gave a solid push to the passenger vehicle sale, while the rural market bounced back, driven by the better agricultural income. Overall, the automotive sector has grown by 6.5% during quarter three and approximately 10% in the nine-month period. Passenger vehicle segment has grown by 3.56% in 9 months, and the PV industry has posted a moderate growth in calendar year 2024 and is expected to touch around 4.3 million units. This is based on the strong growth in the SUV segment and sustained traction of emission-friendly powertrains. The CV segment, including truck and buses, is also facing a major disruption during this quarter, and it has grown around 1.8% as compared to the previous year. However, the industry overall is showing a mixed trend, including domestic and export markets. Subro has stayed committed to drive innovation and growth, which was crucial and challenging given these industry shifts. Subro has registered a growth of 12.11% in quarter three and 9.8% in YTD 9 months. In this growth journey, the CV segment has again played an important role, with a growth of 26% due to new emerging sectors and also the introduction of Aircon in last-mile connectivity trucks. There is around 35% improvement in quarter three profitability and 48.46% profitability improvement in the nine-month period. This is a result of our aggressive push on improved internal efficiency and localization. The results for quarter three 2024-25 have been shared with the stock exchange and posted on our website also. Let me elaborate the summary of the results. Subro has performed better than the industry in quarter three, with a growth of over 12%, with a significant improvement in the margins as a result of our aggressive push on localization and internal efficiency improvement. We have achieved a revenue of 821 crores during the quarter and in 9 months, 2,459 crores. Our share of business in the passenger vehicle air conditioning market has been steady, 42% during the quarter, and in truck and bus segment, trunk AC and bus segment, it is around 53%, and in bus AC, it is 16% during the quarter. The company has realized an EBITDA of 80.64 crores in quarter three which is 9.85% of the net sales, as against EBITDA of 66.15 crores, which was 9.06% of the net sale in the corresponding period of last quarter. There is an improvement of EBITDA by 21.91% as compared to the last year, same period. Profit before tax in the quarter is 45.80 crores, which is 5.60% of the net sales. PBT margin has also improved by around 35%. Tax during quarter 3 is 32.84 crores, which is 4.01% of the net sales. And this has also shown a significant improvement. Now on the business update, over the past few quarters, we have seen a consistent improvement in our key financial KPIs, including EBITDA, PBT, PAT, supported by the growth in sales. We are committed to maintain this momentum and targeting better growth than the industry going forward. Our focus on aggressive cost cutting, both in fixed and variable costs, has been strengthened quarter and quarter, and we are making all our efforts to maximize our efficiency during the forthcoming quarters as well. We are expanding our product range, advancing into technologies to meet the customer needs, especially in electric and hybrid vehicles. Our ongoing developments in alternative fuels such as CNG, hybrid, electric components is expected to contribute more than 20% of our revenue in next 1 to 2 years. Further, in the line of a new notification announced by Ministry of Road and Transport, Heavy Industry, mandate of AC cabins in N2-N3 category from October 25, we have blocked all the businesses now, and we are now in a development phase, and we see a substantial improvement in our truck segment growth going forward. Looking ahead, we are also now working on capacity expansion in our Kharkoda project, which is a major milestone for our journey on sustainable manufacturing. The new facility has already been planned, and the construction work at the Kharkoda site is going to start soon. Last quarter of board meeting, we have already taken approval of approximately 150 crore for phase one investment in Kharkoda, and we are as per plan as of now. Now, just to conclude our financial results, revenue from operation 821 crores with a growth of 12%, EBITDA of 81 crores with a growth of 22%, PBT of 46 crores with a growth of 35%, PAT of 33 crores with a growth of around 22%. Thank you very much, and now we are ready to take questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mitul Shah with DAM Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Shah, please go ahead with your question. All right, we have lost the line of Mr. Shah, and we have the next in line, that is Mayur Parkeria with Wealth Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for taking my question. I hope I am audible. If there is some disturbance, please allow me that, you know, since I am traveling on way, so please allow, sorry for the disturbance, if any.
No problem, you are audible.
Sir, two questions I had, sir. Firstly, a little broader side, you know, when we started the year, we had our broad intent, you know, that over the next 3 years, we wanted to get our EBITDA levels to, you know, around 12% kind of range. So where are we in that journey in terms of, and when you highlight that, you know, in terms of product mix as well as in terms of localization, benefit which is expected, which was expected to accrue. Where are we in that journey? And do you believe that over the last two quarters we have slowed down on that journey by some aspect, because the relative improvement is much is not coming as much as I thought. So can you just throw some light on that firstly?
Okay, so we have two questions. One is on the beta level growth journey, and second is the progress on last two quarters. So yes, we did mention about the EBITDA improvement, and if you follow our result for last 4 to 6 quarters, there has been steady growth in EBITDA improvement, and due to the supply chain disruption in last 8 quarters, there was a huge impact on commodities, foreign exchange and all other sourcing strategies, which has impacted, and EBITDA dropped to 8% level, around 8% level. We have recovered, we have reached to almost 9.75 to 10% level, and going forward it is going to improve, because now all the corrective action for sourcing, localization and also for the neutral impact on foreign exchange, to some extent the negotiation with our customer has already been done. So we are very hopeful that this 12% level will be realizable, but it will take few quarters, so we need to work on that. Second part is last two quarters, the steady performance. So if you see quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, there is improvement. Between quarter two to quarter three, there is slight stagnant performance in terms of profitability because of the financial impact of the foreign exchange, because if you understand last quarter, the impact of foreign exchange was very steep. Although the impact is not significant on our financials, but still there is some part of that. Going forward, it may stabilize if there is no further disruption, and you will see a slightly better improvement from going forward.
Thank you. Before we take the next participants, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Mitul Shah with DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations for a reasonably strong performance on the margin side, reaching close to 10%. Sir, my question is on this new e-Vitara launch. So how are we placed in terms of the production schedule, and what is the expected timeline to start the commercial production? And secondly, in terms of if at all, you can highlight broader number in terms of kit value per vehicle compared to existing average kit value per vehicle.
I could not understand your second question. Can you just repeat, please?
The so second question is existing vehicles kit value for ICE vehicles or like this Vitara compared to that, what would be the change in this EV in terms of the maybe 2x, 3x of the value of our kit, whatever we are supplying?
So Mithin is trying to understand average realization of EV vehicle vis-a-vis ICE, right?
Right. Of whatever parts we are supplying, that value shows pro.
So first question is on e-Vitara launch. So in e-Vitara, we have HVAC business, we have hose and pipe business, and also some part of the ECM assembly in addition to hose and pipe. So the kit content as against to e-Vitara normal to this, there would be almost 1.8x delta which will be coming in. The timing of launch, customer has not still officially announced, but we are expecting that this would be in the first quarter of FY25-26. So far, I think some volume has already been produced. That is only for export. So maybe domestic market, they will be launching during that time. So we have to wait for the final confirmation of customer. On second question, as I mentioned, other than compressor, the content per vehicle minus compressor ICE engine versus EV engine would be between 1.8x to 2x because of the scope increase of frozen pipe going up to the battery cooling. Also, because of the brushless motors and some technology upgradation for EV. Compressor is a separate subject because we are not supplying compressor for EV as of now, but once it will come, it would be almost 3x from the existing compressor value. So overall, between ICE to EV would be around 2.5x to 3x of content per vehicle.
Yeah. So thanks. Just a follow-up on that. In this, would that be a meaningful import content, or it is produced mainly through the localized material commodities and localized wires?
There would be slightly increase in the import content, minus compressor, because all other components are more or less extension of the scope, not on the component side, so it will be mostly localized. But of course, in compressor, right now it is all imported, but gradually when we localize, maybe in near future, that would be to start with some higher import content and then subsequent localization. We have not yet concluded that subject.
With this higher import content, would there be any material change in the margin profile of this, or would be similar to what we are doing, more or less in that range?
No, there will not be any impact on the margins because these are high technology items, and we don't want to sacrifice on the margin on that.
No, sir. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mitul.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Arjun Khanna with Kotak Mahindra Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. Sir, just on the previous question itself, so on the margin profile, so not looking at the near term, maybe one or two years, but say FY 2028 onwards, when possibly we do look at localization of all parts, when you look at the EV piece, we are currently hearing that possibly margins are lower for ancillary providers. But given that we have expertise here, so on an even case basis, when you look out, do you see margins for this possibly being higher than the current margins that we are enjoying over a steady state?
So, first, I appreciate your understanding on this subject because EV definitely will struggle in next 2-3 years in terms of the pricing competitiveness by most of the OEMs. So there would be some pressure on localization. There would be some pressure on the volume, scales. Definitely, we need to counter that. But based on our experience so far, pushing aggressively on localization, improving our operational efficiencies, we don't see it will stress our margin. It would be comparable. It would be relevant. Whatever we are doing now, there would be slightly improvement, but I don't see any deterioration from here.
So, let me ask it a different way, sir. So I get in terms of margins, you may not be higher, but for us, more relevant is return on capital employed. Given that, the components are a lot more costly, you mentioned content increase maybe 2.5-3 times, on an even state once we indigenize the compressor. So in terms of, return on the CapEx we put, would that be considerably higher?
I'll say that, if I talk about HVAC, there is no major technology change. All the existing capacities or production technologies can be utilized for production of EV compressor.
Okay.
EV kit also. Only the bought-out parts cost will be different, not on the manufacturing part. So I don't see a major investment other than compressor. Again, every time I'm just discounting compressor because it's a separate manufacturing technology. Other than that, there will not be any extraordinary investments which will impact the return on capital employed.
Sure. Very helpful, sir. Sir, the next question is on our other businesses such as railway, etc., and EV buses. If you could just talk about these two in terms of order wins, tendering, any other color you could shed on this?
So railway, we've been talking on this for last two quarters. We are very aggressively pushing there. Now, we had secured a large tender of railway, which is around 40 crore of business. Out of that, we have already serviced around 7 crore, and balance will be in quarter four and quarter one of the next year. This is the first major tender in coach aircon, which was under development for few quarters before. That is one. We are now going very aggressive on railway to secure the forthcoming tenders, maybe in quarter two, quarter three of the next year. On the EV bus side, bus business is steady for us for ICE. EV buses, a lot of iteration is happening in terms of technology adoption. So, we already started our EV bus with Ashok Leyland. We supplied few kits for their hydrogen bus. That business is going on. Now for EV adoption by other OEMs, products are almost concluded for adoption. Application engineering is all done. Now we are waiting for official SOP of these products. So maybe next financial year, you will see much traction on bus EV as well as railway coaches.
Sure. Sir, in terms of names, apart from Ashok Leyland, is there any other name you could disclose for bus OEMs?
Wherever we have started business officially, I did mention the name of the OEM, but others are still under PO stage, so it will not be appropriate to mention the name.
Fair. Thank you very much. Just the last question. In terms of the, you mentioned 40 crores for railways order. Just to understand per unit, what is the content, say, per coach? And secondly, for an EV bus, what would be the content per vehicle? Thank you.
So normally, per coach, there are two units required to be supplied, which is roughly 1.5 million rupee to 1.7 million rupee. This is in this range. So it is very high-value product. So that's how the realization per coach is very high. What was your second part of the question?
Sir, for EV buses, what would be the content per vehicle?
So EV buses are not substantially different other than a few elements which are added for the battery cooling. So if normal ICE AC kit is around, say, 4 lakhs, it would be around 4.5 lakhs. So impact will be max 10% on the base.
Sure. Thank you very much and wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Aditya Shah with Arrowhead Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So I just had one question regarding the refrigeration truck that is mentioned in your investor presentation. Is there any update on this? Because, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because as far as I understand, in these refrigeration trucks, the refrigeration part is installed after the truck is built, correct? And it is not done by the truck manufacturer. It is installed afterwards. So how do we go about this business if we have anything going there?
So this is really a concern point for us because we had this refrigeration kits validated, rolled out to the market. But this market, as you said, is not OE-fitted kits or the cabin. So it is actually done on bodybuilder shop. So that has become an unorganized market. So we are still very hopeful that this market in the near future will grow, where a lot of fitment will come through organized players, or even bodybuilders will also have some level of quality requirement or a standard for body code. So we are hopeful, but from a development perspective, our all product lines are complete and they are ready to roll over. We are just waiting for the market opportunity to grow.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Mayur Parkeria with Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking the question again. And sorry, I got dropped out. And just a repeat on that margin question, just a little more color. Sorry to harp that on that again. Sir, on the margin, when we look at the journey upward, should we just two things I wanted to understand more was, should we look at it more as a function of operating leverage where because of higher scale will we get more fixed cost benefit, or we should also look at the function of operating leverage along with gross margins improvement, and within gross margins again function of three things, whether it is a product mix, whether it is localization benefit, or whether it is improvement in the raw material and supply chain. The supply chain and raw material benefits, I believe, would have been largely already done with because it's been there for some time now, couple of quarters. So how do we look at all the three components and if there is anything? So is it a function of gross margin we should look at, or even the operating leverage? How do we look at that, sir? Some understanding and color would help us. Thank you.
So your question has your answer. So it is a cumulative impact of all, because as an organization, when we are scaling up, we are growing, definitely there would be impact of product mix. That is one. Two, when we are increasing our scale, the benefit of fixed cost absorption and variable cost optimization will also be as part of the operational efficiency, which will contribute to the higher margin. But importantly, our focus is to improve gross margin through localization as well as sourcing optimization, because this is where we need to de-risk ourselves also. Sourcing optimization will come when localization will be more, our dependency on imports will be minimum, the fluctuation on foreign exchange or on the duties, custom duties will be less. Then will be more competitive, and that will add to certain margin, and also that would be a growth opportunity for us because we will be more price competitive. So it is all cumulative impact of all the parameters. As Subros, we are driving all these as a long-term strategy. So that's where we are confident that we will succeed in achieving the margin targets.
So, sir, big lever will come from localization, and all others will follow with that smaller components as well. So, we need to watch. Main will come from the gross margin, and within that, the localization will be the big lever, right?
Correct.
So, in nutshell, all the initiative for cost reduction is at place. All the effort for manpower optimization with the shift alignment is there, and the modernized investment in the machines, in the new plant, those all initiatives will definitely drag on the higher operating margins. And
okay. Sir, and I missed whether, have you given any understanding of the kind of capex for the next FY26 also, if I missed that?
No, we have not. So FY26, we will be consistent in our regular capexes. That would be in the range of 100 to 125 crore. That would be a regular maintenance capex as well as for the product development, technology development. This would be other than the new plant setup capex, which is already separately approved, that is 150 crores. That would be for the greenfield project. So there will be two set of investments.
Right.
And you also please see.
Sorry, sir. Please. Yes, sir. Sir, please.
Yeah. Please ask this question, please.
No. I was trying to understand that apart from that 150, the 120 odd crores, which is a normal capex, how much of that will actually go into capacity expansion and how much of that would be going into product development and normal maintenance capex?
So, again, I'm clarifying 150 is a separate, that is for greenfield project. 120 is an additional capex which will go into the regular capexes of maintenance, product development, and technology development. So normally 60% goes into new product development capexes, also for localization, and 40% goes for maintenance and bottleneck capacity improvement in the existing plant.
So normal 120 crore will not have a large component of capacity expansion kind of capex. That is not there largely.
So only, as I mentioned, 40%, because all our existing plants are almost tied up with all the existing capacity. Some improvement will happen through the bottleneck machines where we can increase 10 to 12% capacities in the existing plant. But that's why for bigger capacity expansion, we are going for a greenfield project.
So basically what happens when what Dugar Sahab is trying to say, whenever there is a limitation on some machines, those machines get replaced or new machines are purchased, that is part of our regular CapEx. So that capacity alignment always takes place on the regular basis. Secondly, on margin improvement, you must appreciate that what company has committed is already our operating margin has gone up by 1.2% as compared to the financial year 2023-24. And we have an endeavor, whatever we have committed to improve to 12% is at place, for which we are regularly working on the same.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Mihir Vora with Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So, sir, my question was on the e-compressor side, like compressor for the EV aircons. So currently, we would be importing them. So what would this be a pass-through kind of a product where we don't earn anything and just pass-through, or how is it placed?
So right now, we are not importing this compressor. It is directly procured by Maruti or any other customer. But whenever we will decide to localize this project, it will have some phase-level localization, which we have not yet concluded. We are just watchful for the volume, which are more relevant for our capacity setup. So we'll decide based on that.
Okay, sir. And secondly, sir, you mentioned that the content value increase in terms of EV cons to a normalized vehicle would be around 2.5-3x overall content. What would be that in case of a hybrid vehicle?
So hybrid vehicle also require electric compressor. So more or less, EV thermal system and hybrid thermal system, there is not much change. So it would be more or less in the same range.
All right, sir. And finally, sir, in fourth quarter, there was a mention that, you know, Maruti may start a hybrid production in Kharkhoda plant. So whether does that thing currently also stands, whether we are looking at that only right now, or is the plan changed? How is it?
So that business is already tied up for the new models which will be launched in Kharkhoda. So that is as per our development plan.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Avinash Nahata with Parami Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So in response to the previous participant's question on the kit value of coach, you had mentioned that two units are required per coach, and you had mentioned 15 lakhs to 17 lakhs, 1.5 million to 1.7 million per coach. So just a clarification, whether it is 1.5 into 2 or 7.5 lakhs into 2 units?
This is for the coach. 1.5 million is for the coach. That means for 2 units.
For 2 units. Okay. And secondly, can you give a range for the commercial vehicle, the entire kit size for a commercial vehicle? A typical size commercial vehicle?
For truck application?
Yes.
So normally truck application is driven by the capacity of the truck, whether it is N1, that is LCV, yeah. LCV, MCV, SCV. So it is 4 kilowatt kit, 5 kilowatt kit, or 3 kilowatt kit based on the size and cabin size of the truck. So it ranges between around 10 to 12,000 for a smaller truck, between 12 to 14,000 for a middle range truck, and between 14 to 16,000 for a high range truck.
So when we are saying 14 to 16, this is, you are talking about the entire kit value, if we are doing the entire kit.
That's true.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nishant Chauhan with Geojit. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question. So my question is regarding your revenue mix currently. So could you just broadly tell us what is your revenue mix at this current juncture?
Revenue mix as of now, in total turnover of 821 crores, roughly, 640 crore is coming from passenger vehicle. The ACM in quarter three, that is relevant for quarter three, around 125 crores from ECM, that is radiator business. Trucks are doing around 30 crores, buses are doing around 10 crores, and the rest is all other segments.
Okay. A follow-up to that would be, since we've been talking a lot on the railways, e-buses and also the truck segment. How do you see this mix tilting towards the other segment apart from PVs, maybe say two, three years down the line, sir?
We have been talking on this subject that we need to have more de-risking, more moving away from the more dependency on PV segment. That's why we are growing our business in railway, buses, trucks, tractors, all these segments. Next 3-5 years, we want more than 10%-15% business coming from these segments so that the dependency on passenger vehicle segment should be lesser from the current level. Because these all segments are very disruptively moving year-on-year. Some year commercial vehicle segment is growing larger than other segments. Sometimes passenger vehicle is growing larger than other segments. We want to have a balanced approach. That's why we want to grow these businesses much aggressively.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Sir, just one clarification. The 1.5 billion that you spoke about for the new greenfield project, is this going to be spread across maybe coming years, or it's just the amount earmarked for FY 2026?
That is for new investment you are talking of?
Yeah, the 150 crore new investment.
That would be for the commercialization of production from that plant. That plant would be operational in somewhere middle of FY 2026, 2027. This investment is for that project, greenfield project.
Okay. 150 crores for that in FY 2026.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Mayur Parkeria with Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, there is a lot of expectation that the FY 2026 automobile growth is also gonna be in low single digits given the consumption trends which are weaker. In that light, what do you think would be a reasonable way to look at our growth in FY 2026 on the top line, given the fact that, you know, we have also, you know, there can be a mix in SUVs and other things which we are gaining a little bit more. Can we grow higher than industry on the OEM side? Along with that, the efforts and the initiatives which we have taken for railways and trucks and other things. How should we look at the top line growth for FY 2026, sir?
It would be very difficult to give a very precise number, but one thing which I'm maintaining for last three years in all the investor call, and I still maintain that whatever will be the industry growth, I'll do better than that. Subro's growth in even FY 2026 also will be better than the industry growth. Whatever assumption you want to take on PV or commercial or for buses or for railway, please count on better performance from Subro's.
Sir, on the Tata Motors call, sorry to name that, but just they were indicating that CVs might see some tailwind because the freight rates have started to improve and utilization. Now is there a chance that we'll see a little more tailwind along with the regulatory other aspects of CV aspects positives which we are going to see? But in general, are we seeing any better outlook for the CV according to your what talking or discussions with OEMs?
Basically, in CV market truck particularly, our growth is not dependent on the growth of number of vehicle. Because the major change which is happening from October, the second half of the year, would be that truck will have an AC cabin. So that means AC sale will start from the blower which right now we are supplying. So there would be a delta between 8,000 to 12,000 rupees even with the same truck. So kit value per truck will increase from second half of the year. So that would be a growth for Subros but may not be a growth for the industry.
Right, right. That, okay, I got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Kusha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on a set of numbers. I had a few questions on the EV segment and the hybrid. So we're seeing some demand trends shifting towards SUVs and hybrid vehicles. So how are we transitioning that for our business?
So hybrid business is already planned, and whatever hybrid vehicles are there by the OEMs, our kit development and our product development is already ongoing. So because we are supplying already to two or three hybrid programs. So there is no different thing which we have to do. It's only the question of scale and OEMs plan to expand SUV sale, hybrid sale. On EV side, as I mentioned that we already now will be starting our business with Maruti. Mahindra EV, we already started our business. SOP has already started. And that is mainly for hosen pipe, going to cabin cooling as well as for battery cooling. So from product development side, there is no challenge for us. It is only the scale we are looking at now.
All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that. And coming to the commercial vehicle and construction equipment segment, how are we positioning ourselves in this segment?
So in commercial vehicle trucks, we are already supplying our AC kit as well as blower. Now, as I mentioned in my previous question, truck AC will start now. So we are also positioning for that. Off-roader truck aircon, we already started with Mahindra Oja. That has been exported to US as well as to Japan. Tractor radiator also we started in Mahindra. So now for off-roader also, for truck application also, the product is also in the market.
All right, sir, got that. And last quarter, we had seen some yen impact. So will we see any more impact in the coming quarters?
Eman, can you reply, please?
Yeah, can you repeat, please?
Yeah, so in the last quarter, we saw a yen impact. Will we be seeing the same for the coming quarter, or is there a pass-through?
No, so this quarter, we had a currency impact in the quarter three. Because of the adverse movement of the currency and the depreciation of the dollar, both currencies. Since we have a prudent hedging policy, we hedge our foreign currency exposure, there will be an MTM impact at the quarter end. So, which is around 0.2% of the turnover. And if you recast quarter four, there will be no impact in the quarter four, rather it will be positive impact in the quarter four.
All right, all right.
It is a one quarter lag from the customer side also. So now we'll get a higher rate from the customer and cost is more or less in the same range. There is no change. So from the MTM perspective, from the customer perspective, both ways we will gain. That will offset the impact of the quarter three.
Understood, sir. Thanks for that explanation. And one last question on the localization. Would you be putting a number to the localization rate or how much of the components are locally sourced?
So right now our import content is roughly in the range of 16 to 18% of the total revenue. So that's where we are right now, and our target is to bring it to around 10% in next 2 to 3 years time. We are consistent on our actions.
All right, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, as closing remarks, I'll say that thank you very much for having confidence on Subros. We have been interacting with each other with a lot of anxiety, lot of questions, lot of assumptions. So far, we are very consistent in terms of whatever we are saying to the stock exchange or to the investors. All our plans are intact. Growth is happening over the last period, 8 quarters. We are consistent in terms of top-line growth also on margin side. And we want to be sustaining this journey going forward, improving from here onward. Those who have visited us during the Bharat Mobility Show must have seen the capability of Subros in terms of launching new technologies, the products which are in pipeline. So we see a very bright future for the organization and also for the investors. Thank you.
Management, we have a question. Do you want to take it?
Of course.
All right. It's from the line of Vignesh Iyer with Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. And yeah, so I just wanted to understand the room AC part of the segment. How much revenue did we do in this quarter? And also the fact that a lot of, I mean, the industry leaders as well as the second and third in line, they all are still projecting for a good growth for you know, this year as well as the coming year. And so just wanted to understand on that part.
So home AC business, so far we have done around 6 crore, and as I did mention before that we are going slow on home AC business because there is a lot of stress on the margin because of a very high competitive market as well as the impact of commodities is extraordinarily high, which is not reimbursed by the OEMs there. So we are going slow. We are only addressing those business which has good reasonable margin for us. That is point one of your question. Second, you said that OEMs are showing a very high assumption of growth in next, which is contrary to the previous question which I hear that most OEMs are saying the next year is not going to be very high growth. It would be in the early single-digit growth. So we need to watch because the industry is going to be disruptive. We don't know how the trade war or the tariff war will be there, so we need to be watchful. Maybe in another 1 month or so after post-budget, there will be much more clarity about how the next year is going to be shaping up.
Yes, got it, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of B&K Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.